coming 1 week from tonight, yours truly, will be doing a presentation called Honor Death. It's not honoring the dead, it's honor death. The occasion is, of course, that in both pagan and Christian liturgical calendars, November 1st is the locus of, shall we say, much attention around the general topic of death. In the Christian tradition, it is November 1st is All Saints' Day, hence we have Hallows Day, or the day before All Hallows' Eve. November 2nd is All Souls' Day, and then there's, I never know how to say this, but Samhain, something like that, instead of Samhain, which is how it looks like it's spelled.
Is it Samhain?
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I've never. Thank you. That's, I'm sure, more accurate.
Say it again.
Samhain.
Samhain, but it's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. I've had a block about remembering how to pronounce it correctly.
Turn the M upside down.
Turn the M.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good mnemonic. So anyway, the presentation is going to be about honoring death as opposed to the dead, because in many spiritual traditions, not least Buddhism, my own, the Fourth Way, death is considered to be a teacher. Not death personified exactly, but the Buddha strongly recommended that people recognize the impermanence of the body, and many Buddhists would spend time meditating in charnel grounds, which is where they took dead bodies back when, and even up until this very day, some Buddhists do that sort of thing. Gurdjieff used to say that if there was one thing that could change the course of human history, it would be that if every person could have installed in them, as it were, an organ that would constantly remember the fact that they will die at some point. So we'll be looking at death from that perspective, but including rituals, including meditation, including prayers, etc., from different traditions, not just any one. So that's 1 week from tonight, on November 1st. 2 weeks from tonight, Naked Earth, Naked We, Raphael Bloch, and David Field will be doing their thing again. Raphael Bloch is a local poet with a decided English accent, as he says. He spent a good portion of his adult life in London, where British English shaped his ear for sound. So he will be either reciting or singing his poetry with the accompaniment of David Field on solo guitar, who's an accomplished guitarist. They have invited a guest poet, Carol Griffin. That'll be on Thursday, November 8th, 7:30 to 9. So it's quite the multimedia is quite the right word for it, because it's two media, basically. But people enjoy it. And then on the 15th, we have The Fragrance of Emptiness. That's a book discussion of a new book by Anam Thubten Rinpoche, who is a Tibetan teacher down in the East Bay. And the editor for the book is my good friend Laura Duggan, who lives right here in and around Sebastopol. And I think she moved from the place, which was just down the road here. But she's still in the area. I just saw her at the gym this afternoon. So she'll be talking with our own Jim Wilson, because Jim offered some suggestions about the book. The book, The Fragrance of Emptiness, is a book about the Anam Thubten's commentary in the Heart Sutra, which many people know of, but it's a very short text which has a lot of some very profound stuff in it. The most famous line is, form is not different than emptiness, emptiness is not different than form. So what the heck does that mean? Well, hopefully the Fragrance of Emptiness discussion will at least provide some clues where to look as to what that might mean. So those are the three events we have for November. The 22nd is, of course, Thanksgiving. Oh, I will mention the final event, which is on the 23rd. Friday the 23rd is our 16th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So yay for us. Mm-hmm. We'll be having a 16% off tea and teaware and that sort of thing in honor of the event. And probably there will be some live music from my husband Stuart playing shakuhachi, Japanese bamboo flute. Jim possibly can have his arm twisted to play recorder, his own, probably some of his own recorder music. So, and we'll have, you know, food, the usual sorts of party-ish things. So that'll be on the day after Thanksgiving. And now I get to introduce a speaker after I push a button. Had you already started this?
I started.
Now Stuart has to edit something out. Okay. Well, so it's my pleasure, of course, to welcome our speaker back tonight. She led a wonderful event last year. As much as I have benefited from tarot readings myself personally, I don't think we've had a clearer speaker about the tarot here in the store, and we've had a number. So I'm very glad that Sequoia Nakmani can join us again tonight. She is her website, I think, infinitytreetarot.com.
That's right. Yes.
And so, yes. See, I had it memorized. Mm-hmm. And she has many passions about which we will no doubt hear more.
Yes.
So please join me in welcoming Sequoia.
Thank you. What a lovely compliment. We probably won't get to everything that I wrote down, but that's okay. I'm Sequoia. And I've been reading since I was a teenager, so like 20-ish years, but my mother and stepfather were into all sorts of stuff, like that might be found here in this shop, and so that's kind of where I first got my introduction, and so it never seemed like a strange thing to me, or like, oh. So I'm also a musician, and I play in a band here. I teach music privately, and I love to garden, and I love to be in nature. And those things really influence how I relate to reading tarot quite a lot. Something that's really that's kind of a common thread through those three things is that I always feel like I'm listening to my bandmates, or to whatever messages are coming through, or to the plants in my garden, and so that's kind of this ear. This ear is the one that listens for those kind of things. So that's just a little bit about me. You could ask more if you have questions.
Why one ear and not the other ear?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I just know that when I'm like intuiting something, it tends to go like that. And it feels like that ear is listening, yeah. I don't know. It's just how it works for me. Yeah. So, any other questions before we get into it? Okay.
Should we kind of circle a little smaller?
Yeah, we could do that, since there's a few of us. Yeah.
Yes. Make yourselves
comfortable.
Should
I bring this one
up in case anybody
else comes? So they
can sure. Yes, and then my purse can fit on it and tell.
Sure.
Yeah. Good
idea. Good
question.
Yes,
yeah, that's not
a
problem.
Yeah.
And that makes other people come in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at church on Sunday and I was going berserk. This woman had this bag in front of mine, and she ended up giving it to me.
Oh, wow.
It's from Powell's Books.
It's cool. I was noticing it.
The coolest thing. I just kept going over it, and she handed it to me. I held it to her, and I said, "You can't give this to me." Uh-huh. So I was holding it like,
yeah.
My last name is Powell. You could give it to me.
It's excellent. I think that she's like the keeper of secret knowledge. And she's got all those books behind her.
That is cool.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's just start with a couple silent breaths, because that's how I always start. As you feel ready, you can open your eyes. That breathing silently is one of the most important things for me to tune into my own intuition. So that would be the first recommendation I have for anybody who wants to. I'm gonna back up a little so I can see you better when I look around. Anybody who wants to increase their connection to their own intuition, silent breathing. Number one. So I want to start, like we did last time, if you were here, I know some of you were, with actually not tarot cards, but these little postcards. And you can pick one that you like, you can pick one at random, whatever you wish. And we'll just start, you're welcome, with a little description exercise. Once you get your card.
Okay.
In a way, I'm glad that it's a smaller group because I was like hoping for a little bit mellow of an evening. Oh, I said in a way, I'm glad that we're a smaller group than last time because I was hoping for a little bit of a mellow evening.
I'm ready for a mellow evening.
Yeah. So I guess as we're going around, I'll demonstrate what I'm imagining we'll do with these cards. So first, I would just look at this, and we'll pair off and do this, but say any immediate impressions that I got. So this card feels sad and resistant to me. When I first, I'm looking at the picture. There's a cat there that looks like it's trying to get a snuggle, and my man is like, not having it. and his face looks rather
startled.
Yes, grimacing, startled, concerned, and then I would also notice the color, so there's a lot of blue, but also there's some yellow, golden, and so the blue means, to me, again, it's your own personal interpretation, but to me, the blue, again, talks about that sadness, but also like a deep emotional reserve or pull or sea to be pulled on, something that's like not fully being tapped into. And then the gold says to me like, oh, but there's a opportunity to transform that feeling into something warmer.
What do you think you are, a tarot reader?
Yeah.
Did I get you over that already?
Yeah, so that's kind of the gist of what we'll be doing. And the idea of using the postcards is to get us a little bit away from, the meaning of the card. Because really, that's what we're doing a lot of the time when we're reading, is we're pulling meaning out of a picture. So, once everybody has their card, let's go into groups of two or three, and basically you'll just do that same thing. And if you're stuck on what it means, you can just start describing what you see. And often, once you start describing what you see, things just start happening as you go. Or is everybody
here?
However you would like to do it.
I'm climbed over here.
I could.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Maybe those two guys will be.
Do you want to be partners?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, I do.
So my first impression is this is like this beautiful, bucolic, European context. And by bucolic, I mean it's in the country, which both everything in the picture, as well as the colors, have a feeling of calm,
have a sense of
relaxation, etc. But more interesting than that first impression, not really more interesting than the first impression, but another impression is this water stairway, as it were, where, there's this gradual descent, but very gentle. It's not like Niagara Falls or something like that. Is a way in which the water is stepping down from one level to another and allowing for the life around this pond to flourish, but not like a jungle or something like that. But not only does the water reflect the sky and trees, but it that calm. Is another aspect of that same feeling. That's how I wrote it. And then, the house here, it's interesting to me because it's one of those houses without a lot of window, stone house, without a lot of openings to the outside, which if I were building that house now, or if I bought that house, I would create a picture. That's my personal thing is to bring the inside outside and the outside inside. But it feels as if it's been there in this place. And this place has this
vibe to it. That's really interesting. I wouldn't always say
that's why I said it looks like it reminds me of a French village
and
the France found France in way out there, and there's something very rooted about a house made of stone like this, of this form, which is they often didn't put a lot of windows in because it would be in the wintertime. It would be cold. It's probably cold anyway. Maybe built before they had glass. Expensively available. So the one thing I didn't really focus on until just this moment is this little footbridge over. I guess it's just a footbridge. That's what looks like.
I saw the face, which was Scarlett Johansson.
It's funny that I didn't even really look at that closely because
to me somehow it was like angel all the way to birds more.
That is interesting. No, I was
and then the gown
was like,
is very beautiful and flowing. Like,
this is not a weeping willow,
like,
but it has a little bit of the shape of the wheel, and it's hanging over the water clearly, so it's just an integrated environment. But that's the one thing that to me stands out a little bit.
It's a lot of color.
Right, right. As if it was more recently created, although who knows, but or recently rebuilt perhaps, because these things could
be the
foundation for the smoking foundation hopefully. It's been there for a while and it looks like it's a little less than perfectly so that's what I'm from now on in that. Cornwall, okay. Well, at least I had the comment, right? So if I were looking at this image, one of the reasons that we have a deck.
I don't feel like she moved.
I've had lots of readings from people, from friends over the years. And I appreciate it, but because I have a background in archaeology, I went to some of the Paleolithic art caves that have not open to the public. Back in the 90s when I was in grad school. There's a deck over there called the Shaman's Oracle. They're not like reproductions, but they're reimaginings of Shaman's art. And so that's the first deck I've ever bought for myself. I just started to get into using it. And so it has a lot of it's really interesting imagery because it has this shamanic violence, which is not like a classic tarot deck. Not
in every way,
wrong with classic tarot, but because of my background, I thought it was a lot of but it's not easily interpreted because it doesn't have, because I'm not, at this point, having had tarot readings, it's non-standard tarot.
Very hard to just calm down during the
experience of having that discussed.
Is that all that?
Oh, people are funny, aren't they? That's where I'm coming from.
And boundaries, very strong boundaries.
Maybe in the next,
but it really might be
30 seconds.
So hard to hurt.
We're done.
Yeah, I think we're done.
And that's like rosy light. What about day wise? And
the go get
alright. Finished? Or not quite? So, any reflections anybody wants to give about that exercise before we move on? Okay.
Well, I'll just say that it's interesting to look at. Because, if you go to a museum or something like that, or you go to someone's house and they have art on the wall, and then you get to look at your response to the images that have been in some way curated, whether it's by the individual in the house or the curators in the museum. And and that's a way into people's minds.
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. Both the artist and whoever chose
it. Right, exactly. Yeah. And where they put it.
So, what we just did is a lot of what you do with the cards. And I like to start with this exercise just because there's no meaning from a book from these little cards. And, you know, you could read all of the books on all of these decks or all of the decks you have, and it's useful, and you get plenty of good information. You can memorize all that. But ultimately, when you're reading, you want to be listening to what your inner voice says, or outer voices. Sometimes it feels like outer voices for me. And not be hemmed in by those meanings from the book. Sometimes there are things when I'm reading that I just have nothing to do, seemingly, with the card in front of me. But I say it because my intuition says to say it. So I want to just start with that. So I know you have a deck, mm-hmm. and you have a deck.
I have a deck.
Oh, you know, I forgot to do introductions. I wanted to know your names. Can we do that before we move on? Would you like to start?
Sure. I'm Kaylee. Kim.
I'm Ellen.
Carl.
Cecilia.
I'm Mary.
Rob.
All right, I'm going to try to remember, but we'll see how that goes. okay, so you two have decks, and...
I have one in the car I could run out and get.
Okay, it's up to you. I mean, I have...
I thought it might be fun to try one of yours.
All right.
Oh,
you have? Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, all my decks, everyone's welcome to touch except this one, just FYI.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Would you like your postcard back?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sophia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, taking your deck out.
I'll need to borrow one because I forgot to bring
it. Oh, sure. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to leave you out of that.
That's okay.
Okay. So, some people get hung up on the shuffling. I don't think that's that important.
It's too hard to shuffle. You can't make cards. You have to put them on the floor and just mess them around.
But actually, if you don't mind, maybe I would like to borrow that other deck that's touchable.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, so sometimes people ask me, like, how many times do I shovel? Well, I don't know. However many you feel like it. So let's just start with a card of the day, which is basically, what message is there for me today? So as you're shuffling your deck, kind of tuning in whatever way is right for you. Pull your card. We'll kind of go through. We'll do this one as a group.
Pull any card.
Mm-hmm. Pull your card. Your message for today. And notice if there's any immediate, even sometimes when I'm shuffling, I'll feel something. Notice if there's any immediate reaction to your card that you know. Oh, this means this to me right now. Okay. So, I have a few different exercises that I want to go through with just our personal card. And we'll share in a group, but, you know, you only need to share what feels applicable and appropriate to share with the group. Sometimes the cards can be extremely personal. So, you know, if you want to share that, you can, but don't feel obligated to do that. Okay, so the first thing I would say when you look at your card, minus five of cups, what do you feel? I would say a feeling of loss is what I feel from this card. So if you don't mind, let's just go around in a circle and say what your card is and just the first feeling.
Yeah.
Do you want to start, Rob?
The Nine of Cups, merriment,
party. Mm-hmm.
The hermit. Aloneness.
Uh-huh.
I have the Eight of Cups. I'm stuck.
That's the feeling you get? Or you're saying
well,
that you're stuck?
I know the card pretty well.
Yeah.
I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
And it is a real emotional kind of stuckness.
Yeah. Okay.
To me.
Uh-huh.
The Prince of Penlocks. The feeling is hidden power.
Mm.
And there's also an edge to it. He appears to have horns, and so does his horse.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The horse is black. I could go on and on.
Yeah,
that's
great. Hidden power. I think that's... Yeah. I could feel that when you said that. Actually, I should mention that for me, and I know for other people, that when something... really sparks my intuition or feels very important, like I get a little chill when that happens. So that, when you said hidden power, I felt that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, if just noticing those things for yourself, it might be a chill or it might be some other feeling, a warmth or whatever it is for you, noticing when those things repeat over and over, like, oh, that's my intuition speaking up. Yeah.
What card is that?
This is the Prince of Penlocks. I don't know the deck.
Penlocks.
It's actually Pentacles.
Pentacles. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe like the Knight of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm. Like the Knight of Pentacles. Mm-hmm. Okay. In other decks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got the Four of Wands. The word down here is completion. But when I first pulled it out, I looked at the word because I'm word oriented, and I thought it said contemplation,
uh-huh.
which I thought was good. But yeah. Then symmetry is the first word that came to mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going with what came to me, not what I know that these
yes.
things are supposed to mean.
Yeah.
So this is the Ace of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, as soon as I saw it, I thought of strength and mastery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got the High Priestess
uh-huh.
in the Wild Tarot deck.
Yeah.
This feline beast looks quite relaxed and just in a state of absorbing, and it could be some this fear down here is she's receptive
mm-hmm.
to some of that energy and picking up on it,
mm-hmm.
and the moon is overhead.
Yeah. Yeah, so receptivity overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, you're already on your way. It's kind of easy, actually, in a way. So then the other thing that I like to notice, and Rob was doing such a good job of it with his postcard, I didn't hear the rest of you, but I'm sure you were also, is to notice in the card if there's any imagery that stands out. And so sometimes there'll be some little detail that I hardly ever notice, but then one day in a reading, it seems like absolutely the most important detail. So if you just, we don't need to necessarily share on this part, but if you just look at your card, and if there's one thing that stands out to you really potently, take note of that, especially if it's not a main part of the card.
Should we talk about that or not?
I wasn't going to, but if you have a strong insight, you're welcome.
I don't know if it's a strong insight. It's just I didn't notice this at first at all because I was sort of struck by, merriment.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I wasn't feeling a lot of merriment today, although I had a good time in particular at one point. But I noticed that this all these people partying, there's all these little chalices, and there's flowers like entwined around and emerging from the chalices.
Mm.
And that's like, that's very intriguing to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of ideas I could generate about
right.
it, but it's a striking image that I don't recall seeing ever before in quite this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're stuck in an emotional stuck place, it's very nice to see even down on the horizon there's a light color.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there will be light.
Yes. Any other potent sharings on that?
For me, what I really picked up or saw just then, right now, was the light, the lantern.
Yeah.
And really, he looks like, he really does look so alone, and it looks like there's snow on the ground, and his garb is kind of silver gray, and but his staff is gold.
Yeah.
And but the light, it, and I think there's a star in the middle of that lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's kind of a thing of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
So the, remember this is the Ace of Swords. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the hand that's holding the sword, it's kind of hard to see, but the arm of the hand is a cloud. So with my take on it is the strength and the mastery, it's strong, like holding the sword, but there's also a lightness to it.
What
deck is that?
I don't know.
That's called Tarot of the Magical Forest. It's very cute, but it reads extremely well for me, personally. Yeah. Okay, so if we have no more sharings on that.
I just wanted to say with this, it looks like a lioness.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes are half shut, and... also, there's a marking where you know some of the little lines come together and form a really tight pattern right beside the eye, and so it really calls attention to sort of the inner eye.
Yeah, I love hearing these things because sometimes it's I've never noticed that in that card. Yeah, it helps. It's really really good. So I wanted to talk a little bit about intuition versus grasping. So, you know, this was, we just asked for a message of the day. There was no specific question we had in mind. But when we do have a specific question in mind, especially if we're quite attached to what we would like the answer to be, it can be very tempting to see whatever you want to see. In the card, or cards as you lay them out. So there's a feeling I have of intuition versus grasping. The intuition is a much more, for me, a much more steady, rooted, present sort of feeling, versus grasping is like I can feel in my heart like it kind of like a hand like reaching out of my heart when I want to see something. Which can happen both reading for ourselves or reading for someone else. Especially sometimes when we end up reading something a little difficult for someone and we want to like ease that, it can be really, really tempting to this card, there's loss, it's really painful, but look, just turn your cards upright and everything will be fine again. That is kind of the grasping. It could be an interpretation of this card. But just noticing within yourself what feels different between those two things. And even knowing before you start the reading, like, this is what I hope I am about to see. And knowing, okay, I want to see that, but I'm present for whatever is true. So that can be a place people really get stuck on. That grasping feeling of like, this is what I want it to mean. This is what it means. You know? And then also it can be the same thing when you are coming to the cards or coming to a reader over and over and over and over and over about the same thing. If you find yourself doing that and not much has changed, if your situation hasn't changed and you're still like, ah, let me have another card. That's grasping. That's definitely grasping. yeah. Right. I mean, it's human nature. We've all done it.
What came to me when I saw those clouds, it didn't feel like grasping.
Yeah.
It felt like opening.
Yeah.
Flowing.
Yeah. Right. So really noticing the difference between those two feelings. I know what it feels like in me, but probably it feels different to you. But there's you really have to be honest with yourself when that's happening. Okay, so I shouldn't know if I was going to use that same card, but it's okay, we can use a different one.
I just realized that I've been reading this wrong. I mean, just the script fooled me.
Yeah.
But I saw Penlife and it was Pentacles.
Yeah.
I saw the Pentacles in the drawing.
That's fine. It didn't harm your interpretation in any way.
Yeah, some kind of a new something or other.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you're not supposed to write anything. Your pen is locked today.
Yeah.
How
interesting. Yeah. Sometimes those things are meaningful, though. When we misread or mishear or whatever, that can be actually the thing. Okay, so I want to, where do I want to go? Oh, I want to say a couple more things. So the other thing about intuition is that it's a continuing practice. Sometimes people want it to happen right now when they haven't really tuned in that way before. And so just remembering, like anything else, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And there'll be days, just like when I'm practicing piano. I've practiced a million times. Oh, I play this piece really well. And one day I don't. Who knows why? It didn't work out that day. And that can always be true for reading and for our own intuition, not being able to tap in sometimes. And just accepting that as part of the process, because it is part of the process. Everything comes and goes in waves. But the more you set your intention to feel and understand your intuition, the easier it becomes over time. And this is just one tool to get us there. There are many others. Okay, so back to the cards. This one's a little silly, so you don't have to be so serious about it. So just pick any card.
Should we reshuffle in the one we chose?
If you'd like to. You could also use that same one. I had planned to use that same one, but then
I
accidentally shuffled mine back in.
Okay.
So use the same one?
You can. It was my original intention, but then I shuffled mine. So I picked a new one. So when you get your card, this exercise, when you look at your card, look at this card and make a to-do list of three things based on what you see in this card. And when you can do this in real life, and it's actually kind of fun to get a card and make a to-do list and then do those things on the to-do list for that day. And you can then kind of check in with yourself, like, oh, my intuition made this list, and then I did those things, and here's the result. So that way you're kind of having a check on your own self, if that makes sense. Yeah. And if anybody would like to share their to-do list.
Well, I don't have a list.
Yeah.
The first thing that came up as soon as I saw the card before, you know, when I picked it earlier, was I should go home and instead of working as I usually would, I should have some fun. Do something fun.
Yeah, great. Do something fun. That's definitely on the to-do list. Mine, Four of Swords, he's kind of like sulking under the tree, it looks like to me. And so my to-do list would be like, get up and go for a walk. Instead of sitting there being cranky.
Mine is, since I drew a different card, recharge myself. So it's all about... And there are other things too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Queen of the Swords.
Uh-huh.
And my first response was, get it done now.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting, I just noticed that in the hand that is not holding the sword, she appears to be releasing a butterfly.
Yeah. Any other to-dos from your card?
Okay, I just had to use my imagination, but the most obvious thing is to climb a mountain.
Uh-huh.
Go on a hike.
Yeah.
And then these kind of reminded me of paddles, and I'm in the process of selecting a pickleball paddle, and I was like, go demo some more paddles.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was, I know, you know, I kind of know that the three symbolizes synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give some thought to what I'm synthesizing.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was, you had three. That's a to-do list for sure. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I pulled a really interesting different card. And my eyes aren't seeing very well because I had them dilated for my exam earlier today. But I think it's a Ten of Pentacles, and it's these three foxes,
mm-hmm.
and so that I don't know why. I guess the why doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the to-do list was that the little fox needs to be taken home, and its nose needs to be blown. It's not feeling.
Oh yeah, that's excellent. I love that. Take care of the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, that's a perfect example of not being hemmed in by the meaning of the card. Since you said, like, I don't know why, that's just what I felt. Yeah, it's excellent. Perfect.
I think for me, with the Hermit card, not only the lantern, which to me means, well, guidance, mm-hmm. and faith, though, mm-hmm. as well, the staff. And then the biblical verse, his staff and his, what is that verse? His staff, it's part of the 23rd Psalm, his staff. Mm-hmm.
Is it his rod?
His rod and his staff, right?
Is it staff? His staff and rod.
Staff too. Yeah, his rod and his staff will comfort you. And I do see the staff as comforting.
Uh-huh.
You know, it seems like he's firmly, not desperately, but firmly holding on to it.
Yeah.
And so basically for me it just means, you know, just to carry on with faith.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah. Any other to-dos? The other thing that, for me in this card, I feel like, it's freezing, go put a sweater on. So, I mean, sometimes, like, and I'm noticing a little thing I never saw in here before.
What I think is fun about this is that I've worked this deck a lot.
Yeah.
And I followed Angie Arian about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is, these lightning rods are telling me to let go of the meanings that I associate with the three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which may be right. Uh-huh. I mean, that those may be correct, but it's like, well, let go a little bit.
Right. Yeah, so sometimes when we're working with our intuition, of course, like, we're dealing with big messages a lot of the time and big issues, but it can help to tap in a little more playfully and easily when we do things like this. Like, oh, a little to-do list. It doesn't always have to be such...
Get a life.
I got the five of discs, and the word at the bottom of this deck is worry.
Mm.
And I just loved it. It looked like modern art to me. And I thought, oh, I've got a lot of extra framed art around the house, and that I should donate some of it out to the thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know. You know, I like to give things to the person that wants it, you know, mm-hmm. and to be direct with it. But also I thought with worry I should take one of those little yellow antihistamines before bed, which would be good with allergies, but it would also knock me out.
Uh-huh.
It make me and that in my art journal I should be drawing more circles.
Oh, yeah.
And this one thing just looked like a fish, and I thought, well, I should eat more fish.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well,
right.
You already had dinner tonight, so I'm not going to go have sushi. But.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So I really love this exercise because it's just... a little light and an easy way to check in with your own intuition, like, oh, this is the to-do list I made, and you can easily do those things and just then see how it works out in your day without it having to be like, what's the meaning? Okay. So, I think a new exercise, so shuffle that one back in. And I think we can do this one in groups again, because it might take too long if we try to do it all in a circle. So this exercise will be pull three cards, whatever three cards, and once you get your three cards, I want you to imagine that you're stuck on a desert island, and these three cards tell the story of your time there. And then in your partnership, you'll just tell that story of your time on the desert island with these three cards.
Just pick any three cards.
Yeah, any three. I mean, you can do it like in your special way if you want to, or you can just randomly do it.
Say the instructions again. They were
so, okay, you're imagining you're on a desert island.
Yeah, right.
And then these three cards tell the story of your time.
Of your time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my
goodness. That's pretty rough.
Ooh.
Desert island, huh?
And then once you kind of have some idea, just like a general idea of the story, you can start sharing that in your partnership, and probably it will take more shape as you begin talking.
Okay, let me just look at this for a second.
I can go in several directions here.
Yeah. Okay. You want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Five of Pentacles,
sure.
Hanged Man,
okay,
the Tower.
My time at the Desert Island
is not so great. When I first arrive, I'm just so forlorn, in misery.
Okay.
I cannot believe what's happened to me. Beautiful things that I had in life, my beautiful dress, my lovely sashes, my cape, this is all I have now.
And I see this card as
can't see the beauty around me, I'm just like absolutely blind to it. So morose about my situation.
I'm not weary, I'm getting close, fresh.
Then time passes, and I've like got some things going, you know, I'm growing my berries, I've got flowers, I've got my wheat, and I found shelter in my tree, but I'm still just pretty miserable. Like,
when
it's all coming, very, very bored, and feeling hard to
have.
I'm having a hard time. Shifting my perspective. This is a blessing. Despite the fact that really I have
but anyway,
got some nice things going on.
Yeah.
And I could use it as time for introspection, learning how to cope with it more, but I'm not. Being pretty miserable and knowing that I should take a different view, but it's a great time. And then the tower, a giant storm comes, my structures or whatever I'm living in get destroyed. I don't know how my crops are, maybe they're okay, they're just kind of like green land, but I get thrown back into the sea, and I've roughed up them before, and eventually get washed back to the land, and I just have to start everything over. I didn't learn this lesson.
The world is the one that strikes me because I'm seeing this as when I arrive on the island, I realize this is where I am.
and the and what I'm seeing in this image is not only is it all that I have, but it's abundance. That it's expansive. That it's generative.
So I'm
so it's like I arrive and I get that and I get that and I realize now I didn't realize this, the sun is behind here and so it's like I have all the elements that I need to be not just not just surviving but flourishing
and then here, the male part of me, or it could be trash, but the
star is the thing which looks she, like it's it's an aim to eventually,
if you go with the interpretation, the water
cluster, not leave the island exactly, but leave only the island. So, but it's not easy to get to. There's cliffs and there's rushing water and there's what looks like a chasm that doesn't feel like a be happy swimming in it very readily. So it's something that I am aiming towards, but it's not part of the world in the way that all these other elements are part of the world. So the bridge is that seem to be getting into play here. The bridge is this child who has developed skill. And the child who has developed skill has found an audience. And the audience is right there with the child that I'm meant to cultivate along with these bright, meaningful qualities. So to me, this, in a sense, that would be the sequence of the story that would come to me. And so this is the step between or expanding from here
to a
really beautiful star, and it's not losing this at all, but it's along the way it's finding a connection with others, because here it's sort of like there's no other human presence, and here there's no human presence, but the human presence is part of the journey from one to the other. I guess so, and that's not a thing I frame for myself very often. It's like, well, of course, I have fun when I work here, I enjoy it, but nevertheless, this is not that other one, that other card. And someone actually told me they should go to it. There's an LGBTQ dance at Rasmus Senior Center. I've never been to Rasmus Senior Center, but it's 65. A friend told me I should think about going to that. Maybe I like to dance, but maybe I should think about it a little more. Yes, exactly. So, but also the fun of creating a spectacle. I don't know if spectacle that's what that works like. The fun of creating magic, I guess, is a better interpretation. Yeah, and
one of them
giving them something as they do it.
Grounded and
right. Yeah, yeah.
And go within.
Yeah.
And they've actually
so,
your time
is keep a peace.
What is this deck again?
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I like the artwork. Yeah. I mean, I think it's
mm-hmm. I
find resonances as I look at it.
It's funny,
you know,
the deck's kind of falling in and out of my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It's a good grumpy guy.
Well, I was running a room.
K-A-Y?
Just K, the just letter K. Anna, I don't know what her full last name is, but it's like the Anna K deck.
That's a totally different deck, right?
She's good at depicting different emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you finished or no?
I pretty much.
Okay.
It was a very loose interpretation.
Yeah, that's fine.
They don't look like desert characters to me, but they
do. Yeah. All right. Any kind of finishing up your stories in this little minute here?
Oh, that's sweet. I love the lovers.
I know, it's a really nice one. And that deck is really nice. All right.
My partner brought me today. What is your name?
Sequoia.
Sequoia.
Yeah, I introduced myself before you got here. No, it's fine. I'm just saying.
And your website is infinitetreetarot.com?
Infinity Tree. I have my cards that I can give you at the end. It has all that information on it.
Do you do readings over the internet?
I do. Yeah, but also in person. I'm usually at Milk and Honey on Sundays.
Are you?
Yeah. Although not this Sunday, but mm-hmm. most Sundays. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any insights into that? How did that feel?
One neat thing for me, I just went by what the images seemed to me like they were saying.
Uh-huh.
But my partner has worked with tarot cards, so after I was done, she was able to tell me some of the customary meanings of it. So it was able neat to be able to compare.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And for me, you know, even though I'm more familiar with Waite Rider, you know, I got this rat on the Four of Cups, and I don't know. We've had some problems with rat in our attic. So I was like, what am I supposed to learn? And so on the island, I remember they like to stay on the same trail. Uh-huh. Don't get lost that way.
That's funny. That's
it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, my time on the island was quite rough. Yeah, I was very miserable about it, and I didn't learn any lessons, and then I got washed to sea and had to do the whole thing over.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
Right, yeah. Any other comments on that exercise? Okay, so just another way to get you sort of interpreting the cards in a different way than you might usually, and when you start telling stories, sometimes you say things differently mm-hmm. than you might. If you were just like, oh, what should I do about this situation? Five of Cups, a repeating card. Repeating cards, I just happened to pull this again. Repeating cards, since it just came up, say to me like, oh, big energy that you really better pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so when a card will show up over and over for you, if it's just for yourself or in readings for other people. It happens often, actually, when I'm reading, that a card will show up in different people's readings throughout the day. And so that's always a sign to me, like, oh, pay extra attention to this energy and make sure you're really listening for what this might mean in your own life. And then when it's showing up in a lot of people's readings, I kind of read it as like, oh, a collective energy that's circulating and everyone's kind of dealing with it at the same time. That wasn't something I planned to talk about, but since it came up, then why not? Okay, so getting a little more into some intuition, you can use this exercise seriously if you would like, or you can use it in a more fun way like we've been doing. So this one is pulling a card and asking if this were your best friend or your grandma or your mom or your barista or whomever, you can pick a person, what would this card be saying to you? And you can kind of go a few, if you
pick the person first.
Right.
And then pick the card.
Yes.
And then
exactly.
Point, yeah.
Yeah. Pick the person first, then pick the card. So if you want, you know, something serious and you feel like there might be a message from some ancestor, you can go the serious way and really do it in that fashion. If you're not feeling that, then you can do the barista or, you know, I don't know, whomever, somebody less, somebody more alive and less
fraught.
Yes, fraught, that's the perfect word. Yeah, yeah. All right, so I also wanted to say, I'll just show you the little meditation that I do when I do readings with people, and you can use this or adapt it or not use it, however you want to do it. So I always do, so breathing into the present moment and feeling your connection to the earth and to the sky. And asking that this reading be in service of our highest good. And that we're open to receive messages in the right time with the right words. And that if we are reading for somebody else, that we are like a straw, so the messages come through us and don't leave little bits of themselves inside of us. I'm thinking about your question as you're shuffling. Thinking of the person who has a message for you, serious or not. And then when you're ready, pull in your card. Just did that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, when you have your card, what if the message is personal and you want to keep it to yourself, then that's fine. But if you want to share it, then you can. So, I'll share mine. I asked, what message might my Nana have, my maternal great-grandmother?
Oh my gosh.
And I got another repeater.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, you did.
Yeah. So, Four of Swords, I definitely feel the message of, like, don't sulk. Like, whatever's going on in your life, which there's plenty going on in my life, sitting at home on the couch worrying about it is like not doing any good. So my original thought of before of get up and go take a walk, I feel like is reaffirmed. That can be another thing repeating cards do, is reaffirm. And knowing just that she had her own struggles at times of like leaving the house, and after some of her kids were born, she had some struggles with that. So knowing her own experience helps me feel that message more strongly. Like, oh, don't do what I did. Don't fall into that pattern. It's in our family. Make sure you're like changing the energy around you, mm-hmm. and not just being in the front of your head, anxious and sulky. So that was a serious one. Yeah. If anyone would like to share theirs, you're welcome to.
This is a serious one too.
Okay.
It's political.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of angst in me for, you know, we had a women's movement back in the 70s,
uh-huh.
and here we are again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm acting out.
Uh-huh.
And this is the Princess of
Swords. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was asking for something with my husband, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling the brunt of it.
Mm.
I think that's a very worthwhile card for me to have drawn,
yeah.
to reflect on the fact that this is how I am
right.
acting. Mm-hmm. And there is a crystalline form behind,
mm-hmm.
despite all the turbulence around, and the fact that whatever this structure was has been knocked
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
So that's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's green.
Right.
She's young.
Yeah.
She's
I was green. Gonna say that too. You heard me thinking it.
She's young, she's green.
Yeah.
You know, I should stay with that part of it,
mm-hmm.
and maybe put the sword down.
Yeah, or use it wisely, you know.
Well,
Princess,
I don't know how to do it wisely. I just don't. But yes, yeah. I could focus on that.
Oh yeah. You could think of the progression from princess to queen. Like
yeah.
in the court cards.
It's time.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else want to share any messages they got?
Would Princess be the page then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share. Mm-hmm. This was a repeating card,
uh-huh.
one of the ones I got on the island. And so it had significance that way, and also that I sort of took the plunge and asked for my mom to give me a message, and she just passed over in
mm.
May,
mm.
And so this is called Mother of Wands,
mm-hmm.
I guess, and you know, I had it on the island too, and I, in my sort of freewheeling style, I just saw it as hatching ideas and being creative about
mm-hmm.
your approach to life. And maybe my mom is just affirming that, you know, that maybe she, just kind of like what you were saying, don't hold your creativity back, go
mm-hmm.
let it flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I also get a sense of protection from that card, too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, it is. She's wrapped around those babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do wands stand for?
Wands is generally fiery, passionate energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Can be like creation energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I asked for guidance for my brother, who is alive on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And this is Nine of Wands.
Ah.
So, such an unusual deck.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I need to sit. I'm going to sit with it a more. But
yeah.
So he's needing to focus in on one avenue.
Uh huh. Yeah.
What is that deck?
She already said that what it was
Terror called? Of the Magical Forest.
Magical Forest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes sitting with the, you know. How do I want to say about that? Sometimes sitting with a card or with a reading over time brings new meaning from it. And that's one of the other things about the intuition versus grasping. So sometimes we want the message right now, and it's not available right now, and letting it kind of marinate coming back a couple days, a week, a few months, a year, brand new perspective, and then you can really feel the oh right. So that's very advisable, sitting with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Mine is the Four of Swords. This is truce, and I had asked, I had one of my goals for the year was to pull together some of my grandmother's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, yesterday, I had this whole package of stuff, and I wasn't sure what it was. And she used to write for the Windsor Observer.
Mm.
And it was this big fat thing, so I thought, well, there's a lot. I thought, I have to at least pull this stuff out and see what it is. So I did that yesterday, finally, because I wanted to do that this year. And a lot of it was duplicates of the same issues that she had been published in. But instead of being poetry, which I thought it was going to be, it was actually a column that she did called Looking Back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's family stories. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to pull that together. And my mother, her two children are estranged. They aren't speaking to each other. And this is truce. And I thought...
Mm-hmm.
I asked her, oh, well, how do you feel about my writing project of your work? And she said, well, and I'm saying, there's a balance between my memoir that I'm doing in the memoir class and her work, but also to invite other family members to say, do you have any of Opal's
mm-hmm.
writings? Do you have any letters that I could do something that would be meaningful to the family?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truce is such a powerful word in that mm-hmm. context.
Yeah, and it's so, and again, it's so balanced. It's, you know, it's, it would, I mean, it would be a nice for me, and I didn't think of it kind of until later, but like, well, imagine if this project, by sort of collecting that sort of Dust Bowl migrant history, and along with a lot of the history of Sonoma County from those years.
Yeah.
But that did have a possibility to create a sort of a truce
right.
before my mother and her brother have died.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else care to share?
I was thinking of my younger daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Today's her half birthday. My mom always celebrated my half birthday with me,
uh-huh.
so I celebrated my daughter's half birthday
yeah.
with them. Kept the tradition. Today she's 28 and a half, mm-hmm. and having a pumpkin carving party at her North Hollywood apartment.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was kind of thinking of her, and she's a very interesting, beautiful, inside and out young woman. If one knows, if one has understanding of astrology, she's really unusual because I had her at home. She was born at 1:03 p.m. and she's conjunct sun and moon in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's very, very strong
mm-hmm.
in Taurus. But then her Mars and Venus are both in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids in early 1990, I know so many because that's all her friends, they have really strong Capricorn energy. There was a lot going on in Capricorn. Capricorn is very prominent in the chart, so they're very focused,
mm-hmm.
that bunch that was born in early 1990. Anyway, she's, I got was the Eight of Pentacles, and it's a workman mm-hmm. at a bench working with pentacles. She's a very interesting mixture because she's an actor and a singer and a model. She's very creative, but she's also very, very focused. She wants stability, you know, she
mm-hmm.
wants to make money, but she's also a very inner person as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that I really see so clearly the Taurus and the Capricorn and the Pisces
yeah.
in her. And this card is, this card is the part that's kind of, this person is working very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're working very hard. They have pentacles all up the tree. They're at a workbench. But you sense that they're very deliberate mm-hmm. in their work, but that they also have, I mean, a vision.
Yeah.
A vision. So I like this card for her.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I pulled this card.
Yeah. And a joy at their work.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. That card never, to me, never seems like, oh God, this work.
Oh no, no. And the fact that the person has on red tights,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
very brightly colored red tights, red shoes, and a bright blue smock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm real glad I pulled this one
yeah.
on her half birthday.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice one.
Sweet.
Did you want to share, Carl? You were about to say something.
Well,
this card, the Princess of Wands, is seems to me to be an evolution of the three cards that I drew before.
For the desert island?
Yeah, for the desert island. And on that desert island, I drew two pentacles and actually two pentacles and a wand. All the cards I have pulled tonight have been royalty.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting.
And three of them pentacles and two wands. And that's pretty interesting to me.
Yes.
But this is a nice, I'll just say this is a nice evolution of the story that unfolded to my surprise.
Yeah.
When I started telling it, I said, I'm
right.
I fell down. I was just going to have to ad-lib it because I had no idea where it was going.
Yeah.
And this is the present chapter.
You're happy for that. That's good.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. I could have used a nice ending to my story, too.
What about zero ending? When you envy somebody's
somebody's
writing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you always have to come back to yourself.
Yeah.
Just like in life, if we are stuck in other people's stories, then we're not doing our own work. Which doesn't mean it never happens. I sometimes have that when like friends will come in for readings, and you know, I hear them talking like, "Oh, what was your reading? Da 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 da. Oh, what was your reading? Da da da." I'm like, "Oh." So you know, if we're we can always wish that our story was nicer. My desert island story was rough, but if I'm just wishing it to be different, then I'm not engaging with whatever lesson I'm supposed to be learning right now.
I really have a question about that, because I really, one of the first things you said this evening, I think, was with the different exercises we've done tonight, like looking at the picture and using our intuition. And I know I've been really using this deck, and I always do read this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it seems apt. And I'll read it several times. I'll leave my cards laying out that I pull, and I'll look at them several two or three times during the day. And many times, by the end of the day, I really understand what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say, I really do. I always read the interpretation, and sometimes I feel kind of imprisoned by it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was you that said, when a card's reversed, you don't. Was that you that said you don't read it reversed, or?
I tend not to read reversals unless it feels extremely strong to me.
Okay.
And then, you know, if it just, what reversal is like if it's this way.
Okay.
Yeah. This way. Yeah.
So
and
you don't read it?
Well, so every card, like in the book, whatever book you have for your deck, although some, like this, that Wild Unknown doesn't do reversals in their book.
Oh, they have
but they have like, oh, Four of Swords means this and this and this and this, and then reversed, it means this and this and this and this. So I don't usually read reversals unless I have a very strong intuition that I should. Yeah, but just as a matter of course, I'd usually just turn them upright and read them. But every once in a while I will.
But I guess I feel kind of, in a way, liberated that, I mean, I felt like I heard you saying either not to rely too much on what's written about them, or don't, I mean, is that what you said?
Yes, it is what I said. So, at the beginning I was saying, you know, you can read every book there is and learn every possible meaning, and there's tons of history and tons of symbolism. You can read and read and read and read forever on the topic, and it's useful. It's not to say it's not a good idea, but at a certain point you kind of have to put that away and do your own meaning. And the thing that I find about the books is that if you're always turning to the book, turning to the book, turning to the book, it's a way of not tapping into your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel about it, because sometimes there's meanings in the cards that have nothing to do with anything I've ever read about them. But, you know, I notice that little detail, or I feel compelled to say something that I didn't read anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I listen to this podcast sometimes by these two women who are psychics, and they also love tarot.
Uh-huh.
And when they discuss tarot cards, one of them, you know, I've learned from them that they will have discussions about whenever I draw, you know, this particular card, it always means, you know, it's come to always mean for me this
right.
thing. Another one will have a slightly different,
yeah.
oh, for me it always means, and it won't be like miles apart, but there will be ways in which they've
yeah.
developed their own language
right.
around each card.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's the perfect way to say it. That's mm-hmm. kind of what getting away from the book will do for us, is like increase our own personal relationship with the card. Or with each deck, you know, I have a different kind of way I read depending on the deck I'm using too.
Yeah. Well, because tonight I really felt that with just us, you know, with both my partner and just, you know, when I've pulled an individual card and we've shared, I
yeah.
really felt so much just the intuition
yeah.
from looking at the card and what I do kind of know or believe. You know, it's almost like the astrological signs. I have certain feelings
yeah.
about the pentacles,
yeah.
wands,
yeah.
cups, or swords. But I'm kind of relieved because there's been many times where I pulled my cards for the day, and then I've read it, and it's like, there's been a couple of times where I admit, I said, I've got to pull another card and see if that clarifies this card,
because uh-huh.
that first card was just so awful.
You know, yeah.
I mean, I didn't want that card to be for that day.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
or,
yeah.
you know, and it's, but I think if I just looked at the card,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have felt that.
Yeah.
I think what made me feel that was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I did always read the reversals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I seem to get reversals mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing against reversals. It's just I don't tend to do it. But lots of people
either.
Do. And
I have
if it
a
works.
Question about that, though.
Yeah.
Do you have any reason why you don't read the reversals?
The main reason I don't is that it's kind of, so one of the ways to think of a reversal is like, okay, the world is like the completion card, your journey's over, and if it were reversed, it might be like, oh, there's some blocks in the way of you reaching your final destination, you have to clear some things up. And the reason I don't read it reversed is because I just tend to have a feeling when I turn the card over which it is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's just about my own intuition.
I didn't totally get. So when you flip the card over, you have a feeling.
Right, a feeling about whether it's like, oh, you're almost done. This amazing completion, success, yay, congratulations. Or if it's like, oh, you're not quite there yet. There's a few things left you got to do before you really complete the cycle that you're in. So why I don't read reversals is because I just tend to feel it, whether it's.
Do you do the other side? You also don't read the right side up?
I read them up. Usually I read them right side up, so they would be just like that.
I'm not arguing about it. I'm just trying to...
No,
it seems like they have reversals for a reason, so why are we not doing it?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of... You know, I think our brains are so negatively programmed anyway, and
mm-hmm.
I think that when we can not read the reversals, we get a lot more... meaning from the card and inspiration for our lives. And I noticed that if I just, you know, I just have my cards all in the same direction, so I rarely even get
mm-hmm.
a reversal.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem to add much.
Yeah. Well, so, and it's personal. So if you
yeah.
were reading and you felt really strongly that reversals helped you reading, then do it.
Well,
yeah.
these cards, they come from a long time ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A time when society might have been more, I don't know, judgmental, or I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's
something
now.
I want to think about some more.
Yeah.
It feels important.
Yeah, right. And you should listen to that feeling, because that's part of the intuition.
It
yeah.
does feel like in the last, you know, 20 years, people have been sort of getting away from reversals. It used to be more
mm-hmm,
traditional.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm.
We're less traditional now.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, so it's really about your own personal reading style.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of many different ways you can read, and different readers choose to use different things or not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see. Imagine a reversal being really inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
you
could be.
Get.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. I guess I should say, because we're almost pretty much out of time, if there are any remaining questions.
What deck am I using?
Tarot Illuminati, which is not about the secret group, it's just about the illuminated nature of the cards. Yeah.
You said you have a special relationship with each deck.
Yeah.
What kind of relationship do you have with this deck?
That's my favorite one. I use that one really, really often in reading for other people. It's very straightforward, but also very gentle. Which I feel like is how I am.
So again, it's the magical...
Terror of the Magical Forest.
Magical Forest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That one, The Wild Unknown, I feel like sometimes it's like, slaps you across the face. So if I'm like wanting to hear something a little gently, I don't use that one.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to point out that we have a donation bowl over there. We share half of the donations with our speakers to further their work and retain half to maintain the space for future such events. So please do. And Odin put out a few few of the many tarot resources that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't by any means encompass them all.
And you said you have your cards.
I have my cards if you want to take one, and you could also sign up for my email list, which includes readings for the collective once a month, and also I send out tarot exercises, like some of the ones we did today, that you can, thank you. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
If I take two cards, one for me?
Definitely. Yeah.
Thank you.
There's plenty.